Happy Sabbath. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Very beautiful. Today is the International Sabbath, and I would like to know, how many of you come from a different country? If you do, would you mind please standing up? If you come from a different country. Up, up, arriba. Very good. Now, if you have been a missionary to a different country, could you please stand up? If you've gone as a missionary, student missionary to a different place, please stand up. And now, all of those that have been called by the Lord to be missionaries in Roseburg, please stand up. Amen. 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 We have been called by the Lord to be missionaries. You may be seated. You know that there's a story that is told, and before I tell you this story, I remember 8 years ago, I was in the country of Kazakhstan as a missionary, and they gave me, it was one of my last Sabbaths, and they gave me this outfit here, but they also gave me a painting, and the painting was of flowers, just beautiful different colors of flowers. It reminded me of the painting now when everybody was standing up, because the person that gave me this painting, he said, this is so that you will remember that the church of God is different colors, is different personalities, but we're all together, and together we make a beautiful bouquet of flowers, he said. And that's true. And with that said, it brings me into the story that I really want to share with you. This is the story of Ellen G. One of the stories of Ellen G. White, our founder of our church, the servant of God. She said that one day she was in Europe, and when she got there to Europe, somebody came and said, here's a letter. I wanted you to have this letter. So she took the letter and she started reading the letter. This lady was sending her a letter telling her of all her problems. She was very depressed. She was very sad. She had gone through a lot of things, and she was just telling her, this is happening, all these things are happening to me. That night, Sister Ellen G. White closed the letter and she went to sleep. And as she was sleeping, she had a dream. And she had a dream of a beautiful garden. I only see red and they're beautiful, but it's beautiful, beautiful garden. And in the garden, she started looking at everything. And one thing that was very important, There was someone there, a guide. There was a man there who was guiding her this way, and she was just super happy. Looked at all the flowers, and it smelled so good. But you know, suddenly she realized the guide, Ellen G. White, were not the only ones there. You know that lady that wrote the letter? She was also there, and she was there looking at everything that was going on. And the funny thing is, as Sister White was looking at all the beautiful flowers and smelling everything, this lady said to her, what a pity. Isn't it sad that this garden is spoiled with the thorns? And she was just looking at the thorns. And as she said that, the guide turned around, looked at her, and he said the following, let the thorns alone, for they will only wound you. Gather the roses, the lilies, and the pinks. Gather the roses, the lilies, and the pinks. You see this? I hope this is working. Let's see. It was on. Well, let's go to the next slide, please. It's a beautiful, there we go. There's this this beautiful garden, and you see it says, gather the roses, the lilies, and the pinks. And I know that it's very easy to say, oh, sure, everywhere we go, we can see something beautiful. But there are times that it's going to look a little bit more like this. We're having some issues with our control. Maybe if I could have the control of the back, or if there's another control. Margie, you have the... Not working either.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
It starts looking like this. And it's very hard to imagine, where are the pinks? Where are the lilies? Where are the roses? And, you know, I look at the different pictures of 2018, and in the news, you see pictures like this. I don't know if you're able to see, that's flooding someplace. That you're not able to see, it's very dark, but it's lava. Remember that very tragic situation that happened in Hawaii? Then you see the fires in paradise just recently. And where are the roses? Where are the lilies? Or this, earthquakes, just tragedy after tragedy. And not at home, because this is worldwide. Things happen, and some of us, it affects us. We know of loved ones that have suffered. But then we get a little closer to home, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of us have faced the following this year, or know of someone that may face something like this? Broken homes, people dying, people that are sick. This is actually a picture of some of our friends, and they lost everything in the fires of paradise. That was their home. And how many times, maybe we haven't lost our home, but maybe our pockets are empty and we don't have money and we're losing things. Or maybe just feeling alone. You know that there are people here sitting right now with lots of people around you, and yet you can feel very, very lonely. Or this, where we have been hurt by someone. Or this. I don't know how many of you have gone through one or two or three or all of the above, but it's very difficult to think of the roses and the lilies when we go through things like that. Well, this morning, I don't want us to start with sad faces, because I already see some people like, Remember the song, Praise God, Jerusalem, there is good news. And let's read this quote right here. It says, this earth is the place of what? For heaven. The time spent here is the Christian's winter, isn't it? All those pictures that you saw, that's the Christian winter. It says here, the chilly winds of affliction blow upon us and the waves of trouble roll against us. But in the near future, when Christ comes, sorrow and sighing will be forever ended. And then it says, then will be the Christian summer. And it says, all trials will be over, and there will be no more sickness or death. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. For the former things are what? Passed away. I want for us to keep in mind all of those pictures, all the things that you've gone through this year, or that you're going through right now. That's the Christian winter, but the summer is coming. And even as we go through the winter, there is something special that God is wanting to do in our lives. So before we continue with beautiful scriptures and the message, I invite you to pray one more time with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you see each one of us. Right now, it could be that maybe someone was touched by a picture saying, that's me. Or that's someone that I love and that I know. And so, Father, at this moment, I know that you want to share a message, not just for me, but for everybody else. And, Father, I just pray that it will be in your timing, in your way, your story, and all for your glory. Use me this day to share what you want to share to our church here. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Week, or actually in 2 weeks, I believe, we're going to start the 10 days of prayer. And this initiative is something that has been happening in our church worldwide since 2012. So for 6 years now, it's been happening every year. And I have to tell you, if you've never participated of this, you have to make plans. It's a beautiful time that we come together, we hear the word of God, and we pray. So last year, how many of you were here when we did the 10 days of prayer and Melody Mason was here presenting? Do you remember? I see some hands. It was really wonderful. And we were able to get lots of blessings. And please make plans to be here January 9th, starting day number one, and it starts at 7 p.m. 10 days of prayer. What a better way to start the year. But last year, when we were having these 10 days of prayer, you know, every year it almost seems like God gives me the theme of my year. You know, a Bible verse, a quote, something. And I remember during those 10 days of prayer, this is what the Lord gave me. His timing, His way, His story, His glory. And I remember thinking, I mean, it looks beautiful, right? And it sounds like wonderful, that something you can do. But let me be honest with you. I mean, my goal was, it's going to be God's timing. I'm not going to push my way. And it didn't always happen like that. There were times that I really wanted for things to happen in my time. There were times that instead of being His way, I was trying to push my own way. Or instead of making sure that for me, I wanted to edit the chapter. My own things. I didn't do that good, but I'm still looking forward to God helping me to accomplish this. And His glory. How many times we think that we're doing something and, oh, I did very good. Applause for me. And really, the glory is for God. And so this became beautiful at the beginning, but as I kept going day by day, I realized, you know, I need God to help me fulfill this. Part of that story, and you know a little bit about, involved the kids. And I remember, when the children came back to our home, they were gone for about a year, and when they came back home, we had decided to encourage the children to memorize scripture. And we found a book. It's called ABC, Jesus Loves Me. This is how much Jesus loves me. And the little book starts with a little song. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. This is how much Jesus loves me. And then it goes into every single letter of the alphabet. And for every letter, there's a Bible verse. A, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. B, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ in God forgave you. And my favorite, one of my favorites, C, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:31, very good. And you know, for every single letter, there was a Bible verse. And it was really exciting. I mean, there were days that we couldn't wait for the next letter. And when we were getting closer to the last letters, in the alphabet, we were so excited. So when we came to the last letter, which is letter Z, yes, Zacchaeus. Today, for I must go to your house today. When we finished learning that Bible verse, we were so excited, so happy, because now I know my ABCs and how much Jesus loves me. And we were just so happy with that. Well, we learned that in 3.5 months, something like that. We learned the ABCs, the different Bible verses. Last week, we were in California, and in the morning I woke up, and I remember the song, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, this is how much Jesus loves me. And I started remembering, but there was one letter that just kept coming back to my mind. N, 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 N. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, being convinced of what we do not see. Now faith, being sure. You know, years ago, I remember driving in a car, and a friend of mine was driving, and I remember sharing all my trials, all this is happening to me, and just being so sad about it. My friend stopped the car, and we went outside,
And my friend said, look, Sayuri, listen to me. You are right there, he said. You have troubles. You've gone through this, you've gone through that. You're sad, you're broken, you feel discouraged. And he said, I've gone through problems like that too. But listen to me, listen very careful. Now I'm here. I used to be there. Now I'm here. God will get you through. Have you heard that this year? God will get you through this. God will get you through this. And we hear it and we hear it. And basically is he's going to get you through this. This is the definition of through, which has become one of my special words. And I'll tell you more about it. But the definition says through means moving in one side and out of the other side. Or continuing toward what? Completion. Being complete. It's the final destination. But you know, the most beautiful thing about this word is that with God, through means the following. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In other words, through means that he is going to get us through. He's not just going to be like, come on, come on, come on, come on, get to the end. No, he's going to be with us the whole time. Every time we're in a valley, we must remember that. We're not alone. He is wanting to come and to be spend time with us. Now, I want to share with you 7 lessons that we can learn when we are in valleys. Now, some of you may feel that, oh, I'm not in a valley. I'm not in a valley. I'm actually in a mountain, and it's really bad. Or some of you may be like, I'm in the valley. Everything is nice. Oh, I love it here. Well, even if you're in a good time right now and you don't have any problems, I would suggest please pay attention, because this can be a blessing to you and to many people around you. So these are 7 lessons to learn as we're going through dark moments, thorny moments, difficult situations. Number 1, thanksgiving. We are told in the Bible, give thanks always for all things. Does that include trials? Yeah, sometimes. Actually all the times. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that means don't just wait for Thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord always, always. And listen to this quote right here. It says, the way of the Lord's helping, we may not know, but this we do know. What does it say there? He will never fail those who put their trust in him. He will never fail those who put their trust in him. There is a song, and some of you may know this song, that says, thank you, Lord, for the trials that come my way, because I've learned to grow in the trials. See, thanking the Lord is basically saying, he's going to take care of it. I trust him. I trust him enough to say, thank you, Lord, for this trial. You know why it is in my life. You know the plans that you have for this. So that's 1, thanksgiving. 2 is humility. Now, we have been told that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And let me ask you something. If we think of ourselves less, then who are we thinking more of? Others. We're thinking more of others, and we're thinking more of God. That's humility, to put him first and to be the last, to be the least. Now, when we start putting our trust in the Lord, humility starts coming. But if we don't put our trust in the Lord, the opposite starts coming, where it's pride that starts coming in. I can do this. Nobody help me. I'm going to be able to get through this by myself. But when we give it to the Lord, it's when humility starts coming. Now, something really beautiful that I really like here is that the more that I look at God, the less that I look at myself, right? Look at this picture right here. I saw it and I thought, this is really great. That's David and Goliath. And it says that David didn't need to know Goliath's strength because he already knew God's strength. Isn't that precious? See, we focus many times on the problem. It's a huge problem. It's a mountain. It's huge. And we forget to think that God is greater than the mountain, that God is bigger than the mountain. Humility comes in not focusing on us or on others, but focusing on the Lord. Now, here's a quote. It says, God's ways are ways of mercy, and the end is salvation. See, in mercy to us, he does not always place us in the easiest places. For if he did, in our self-sufficiency, we would what? Forget that the Lord is our helper in time of necessity. But he longs to manifest himself to us in our emergencies and to reveal the abundant supplies that are at our disposal, independent of our surroundings. Disappointment and trial are permitted to come upon us that we may realize what? Our own helplessness and learn to call upon the Lord for aid as a child when hungry and thirsty calls upon his earthly father. Now, I've met people here that they would never say this or that they never said this before, but they were humble and that are humble people. And I just have two examples, and I hope you don't mind, but these were two people that were very dear to our church and that I really believe that they exemplify what humility is, that they put God first. And the first one is Mary. This is a picture we took with the youth class when we went to be the sermon, it was entitled. And so we went to visit different people. And we visited Mary. She's in the middle right there. Now Mary, and those of you that visited, you're gonna correct me if I'm wrong, but every single time we would go into her house, it was not about her. It was so much about her making sure that you knew about God. I mean, that table, do you remember the table? That table was pointing to the plan of salvation. I remember when the kids went there for that visit, she tested each one of the kids. What is this? What is that? What is? And just her desire of making God greater and she less. Wow. Humility. The next one that I have is John Lee. John Lee. I remember when we went to visit John. I remember Brother John, we came in. And that day, I don't remember who was speaking the sermon, but in his sermon, that person mentioned that there was a group of young people who went someplace, and they said, hey, why don't we sing Jesus is Coming Again? And the young people didn't know the song. Do you remember that story? So when we came to visit Brother John, we shared with him the story, and we said, you know, they said in the sermon that a group of young people, they didn't know the song Jesus is Coming Again. His eyes got teary. And I remember him asking the kids, do you know the song? Do you need to know this song? Jesus is coming again, he said. And he shared his beautiful testimony, not so that he can be, oh, look what I've done. Not at all. But to say, this is what God did in my life. This is what he can do in your life. These people, they put God first. It's beautiful. Now, at the end of our visit with Brother John, we sang the song, Jesus is Coming Again. And you could see the tears falling from his eyes, rolling from his eyes. What a beautiful thing. There is a Bible verse that says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I believe with all my heart that this brother, this sister here, humbled themselves in such way that God will lift them up, that the day is coming where we will see them again. Now, we learn thankfulness as we're going through our trials. We learn humility. One more thing that happens as we are in this process of going through things, as God is getting us through, and that's refining, purifying, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus, of Christ. Think of all the Bible characters, those that made a difference. How many of them didn't have problems? Joseph, he was sold, he was mocked, he ended up in the dungeon. Daniel, thrown with the lions. Paul, sent to prison. Moses, put on a little thing so that they could fly because he was going to be persecuted. Ruth, every single Bible character that was serving the Lord, that made a difference, and that their story is in the Bible, they went through trials. Why? It's the refining process. We are told that there is one thing only that we are going to be able to take to heaven. Our Bibles? Our character. Our character. And if the Lord is wanting us to bring our character to heaven, He is willing to let us go through trials to be able to learn, to be able to be refined. Sometimes the Lord makes His path to the soul by a process that is painful to humanity. The work of purifying is a what? Great work, and will always cause men suffering and trial. But he must pass through the furnace until the fires have consumed the dross and he can reflect the divine image. The divine image. So, as hot as it gets, as scary as it may be, dark as it may be, let's not forget what God is doing. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? As you go through your trial, remember that the Lord is there with you, with you. So the next step that we have is obedience. It's very important. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep what? His commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. How important it is that as we go through the trials, we remain obedient. Listen to this quote. Those who are trying to obey all the commandments of God will be opposed and mocked. We can stand only in God. In order to stand up to the trial ahead of us, we must understand God's will revealed in His Word. Only those who have strengthened their minds with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. Now listen to this. Are our feet planted on the rock of God's unchanging word? We sang a song. The opening song was Standing on the Promises. Remember? I would like, with reverence, please, for you to tap on the floor for a little bit, please. There we go. You are really standing on the promises of God. This picture was taken in March of this year. March of this year, this picture was taken. The carpet had been removed, and we decided, let's write down promises on the floor so that when we come back, like you are here, we may stand on the promises of the Lord. I mean, there were so many everywhere. Look at this one. We used to have the chair here, the chair that says coming soon, the empty chair. It used to be right there. Right there. Under this carpet, there is a Bible promise, and the promise says, let us go to the house of the Lord. You are here in answer to prayer as a fulfillment of that promise of the Word of God. Look at this one, and this one's found, I'm imagining, someplace here, because usually the pulpit is here, and this one says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Right here, praying that every word that comes out of the mouth of everybody that speaks be acceptable to the Lord. The children come for the story. Sometimes they sit here, sometimes they sit there. There's a promise written here that says, "And I will save your children." Amen? Amen. Promises, promises. Look at this one. And this one I love because it's over there where Craig is sitting at. And it says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk, walk.'" Could you imagine? There is a day coming that we will see our brother, our sister, our sisters that are in a wheelchair right now walking, jumping, limping. Oh, how happy, because we're standing on the promises of the Lord. It says, this promise right here for all of you who entered, it's right in the beginning, and it says, "You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out." May these promises be fulfilled. Obedience, obedience is believing. Obedience is believing in the promise and walking through with the Lord by our side. And this one here, "All things will be possible for God, for with God, nothing will be impossible." So the next time that you're walking around, that you're standing up, remember that there are promises, not just in the floor, but we have the Word of God. We have our Bibles. And it's important that as we go through the trials, we remember to obey God's Word. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's nice to hear. It was nice to see the pictures. Now it's time to do what we hear. It's to put in faith even when we cannot see and step forward as God is with us. Now the next one is you. And you is for, as we go through our trials, we are able to be used by God. This is one that I really like. The Bible says, "The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles." Have you been comforted by God? Okay, now there's a second step, because it says, "You have been comforted of all your troubles, so that we can comfort those that are in trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God." That's what it's all about. It says here, "Missionaries for God are called to face dangers, endure privations, and suffer reproach for the truth's sake. And yet, amid the dangers, the hardships, and reproach, they are still to hold," what? "The banner aloft." We are not in vacation. Just because we are going through a trial, that doesn't mean, oh, I'm taking a break. I'm on vacation now. God is still wanting to use us. The trial that you're going through may be what God uses to help someone else. There are things that I'm not sure how to comfort others because I've never experienced that before. But every trial that comes our way, it's something that if we give it to the Lord, He is able to use that to reach out to others. Now, G, glory to God. The Bible says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We sang a beautiful song just before I started speaking. "Jerusalem, Hosanna in the highest." But you know, we don't have to wait until heaven. We can start giving God the glory today and every day, even as we go through different trials. When my husband and I got married, we both had experienced difficulties before our marriage. But I remember God bringing us together, and as I was walking down the aisle, this was our song. And it's a song that says, "How can I say thanks for the things that you have done for me? Things so undeserved, and yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. You see, as you go through the trial, if you really hold on to the Lord, and if you're not walking by yourself, the moment that you reach the end, and even during, you're going to realize, he did it. I didn't. He did it. He did it. And it's not just you that will realize that, but people will see what the Lord has done. The glory goes to God. Now, the last one is holiness, and holiness just covers everything. We, the Bible says, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Holiness. You see, this is one of my last quotes, and I really want you to pay attention, because it says, in the midst of the time of trouble, because brothers and sisters, I know you've gone through difficulties, trials that are very hard. I'm sorry to say, but it's going to get worse. It's going to get very hard. It says, trouble such as has not been since the day there was a nation. It's going to be harder. His chosen ones, however, will stand unmoved. Satan, with all the host of evil, cannot destroy the weakest of God's saints. Angels that excel in strength will protect them. And in their behalf, Jehovah will reveal himself as God of gods, able to save to the uttermost those who have put their trust in him. That's holiness. Holiness. So sometimes all we want to do as the trials come is cover ourselves. No, I just want to open my eyes and the problem is gone. Open your eyes. Look up. Receive the blessing of the trial. Thanksgiving, humility, refining, obedience, being used by God. Glory to God and holiness. This is my little sister, Santi. And ever since she was a little girl, I took care of her. My mom did a very good job, but I still wanted to be the mommy. Kind of like Melanie, sometimes she wants to be the mommy. I really love my little sister, love my sister. And always trying to protect her, cover her up, just making sure she was okay. She was okay. Well, we grew up. And the day after Thanksgiving this year, I got a call from her. See, she had gone to the doctor to do some tests. And as she got I got the call, I was at Costco. It's not a good reception. I don't know about your phone, but I was trying to talk to her, and it was really bad reception. So what we ended up doing was FaceTiming. Oh, that was hard. Because she was calling to let me know that they had diagnosed her with cancer, with breast cancer. And there I was in the parking lot of Costco, trying not to cry so that I can help my baby sister, my little sister, but so broken and so scared. You know those moments that come, and where's my faith? Yeah, well, later I was like, what's wrong with you, Sayuri? We have a great God. But at that moment, it was so hard. It was so hard. Now, different tests she's gone through, and this last Wednesday, she started chemotherapy. And we are trusting in the Lord. But here's the most beautiful thing. From the very beginning, the first call that I got from her, she said, Sayuri, God has given me a word. And I said, what do you mean a word? She said, one word. Through. And I said, what do you mean? He just said, through. I will get you through this. Now every time we call each other, I'm praying for you. through. And we just remind each other, God is going to get us through. What a beautiful word. It's not that we're walking by ourselves. He is walking with us. Now, Wednesday, when she started the treatment, the chemo, she said that she got there, and there were different people taking the chemotherapy, and they were preparing her. And as they were preparing her, she was sitting down, and next to her was another chair, and in the chair there was a young man. Young man. And she said that all of a sudden, these nurses came walking into the room where they were, and all of them were clapping, and they brought the young man a certificate because that was the last day of his treatment. He had completed the treatment. And so here's my sister, who is about to start her number one, sitting to a guy who is finishing the treatment. And she said, the guy had a smile from ear to ear. He was so happy. And she said, but then I looked, and behind the guy was the young man's father. And the young man's father was crying and crying and crying. And she said, and I started crying, she said, and all I kept thinking was, that dad is crying with joy. His little boy has finished. He's done. And she said, and it reminded me of how God must be right now, she said, thinking, all this sadness around the world, you're almost done. You're almost done, my little one. You're almost done. It's almost time to go home. The Christian winter is about to be finished. It's almost time, and God has promised to get us through it all. This is the last quote. It says, every thorn that wounds our feet has wounded his. Every cross that we are called to bear, he has borne before us. The Lord permits conflicts to prepare the soul for peace, for the summer, for the Christian summer. Glorious will be the deliverance of those who have patiently waited for his coming and whose names are written in the book of life. How can we be strong in the Lord without trial? No cross, no crown. No cross, no crown. We need to learn that the trials mean benefit. Amen. Through it all, God is wanting to get us through it all. So if you're going through a trial right now, allow God. Stand on the promises of the Lord. He will get you from point A to point Z. He has promised. If you're not in trials or you know of someone, pray for them from A to Z. Pray constantly, claiming the promises. But all of us will go through trials. May we not let go of the hand of God. I invite you to stand as we close with this song.
Let's sing together.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. situation gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. Through it all. Oh, I've learned to depend upon His word. Places I've seen a lot of faces. There have been times I felt so alone, but in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. To depend upon His word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through.
Father, we want to thank You through it all, through it all. Lord, as we are about to close 2018 and start a new year, 2019, we pray that we will hold on tight to You, that we will not walk alone, for You long to walk with us through it all. Lord, that we will make up our minds and allow You to do what only You can do, and all for Your glory. As we go through our trials, through our everyday, may every day we will see how this is Your timing, this is Your way, this is Your story, and all for Your glory. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.